Well, by now, friends, we are experiencing hopefully some spring-like temperatures where we can be outside a little bit more and enjoy some walking, some gardening, preparing the gardens for spring-like and summer-like flowers, and how exciting that is for us just to be able to breathe in the breath of fresh air. And so as we, as a congregation and as a community, as we have been just kind of walking through the windows on Easter and journeying through Lent, we realize that Easter doesn't just stop on Easter Sunday, but the resurrection is for every day afterwards, and we live that resurrection, and we walk alongside Jesus, and we grow in his grace and his strength every day. So Ken and I are so very happy that you have been able to walk with us during this journey, and we pray God's blessing on you today.
Your name on high, Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show
In Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 32, we find the story of the followers of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We find two Christ followers on the first Sunday after the crucifixion. All that they thought they knew and believed had been swept away in a whirlwind of events that had left their Messiah dead, and their faith was shattered, or so they thought. But the power of the Word of God spoken to them by the Son of God would lift the fog of their confusion and give a new and fresh clarity to their purpose for living. Picture this. That same day, the two other disciples, not of the 11, are traveling the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, as they walk along, they talk back and forth about all that has transpired during recent days. While they're talking and discussing and conversing, Jesus catches up to them and begins walking with them. But for some reason, they don't recognize him. "You two seem deeply engrossed in conversation," Jesus says. "What are you talking about as you walk along the road?" They stop walking and just stand there looking sad. One of them, Cleopas is his name, speaks up. "You must be the only visitor in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about what's been going on over the last few days." "What are you talking about?" Jesus says. Well, it's all about the man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet who did amazing miracles and preached powerful messages in the sight of God and everyone around. And our chief priests and authorities handed him over to be executed, crucified, in fact. We had been hoping that he was the one, you know, the one who would liberate all of Israel and bring God's promises. Anyway, on top of all this, just this morning, the third day after the execution, some women in our group really shocked us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't see his body anywhere. They came back and they told us that they did see something, however, a vision of a heavenly messenger. And this messenger said that Jesus was alive. Some people in our group went to the tomb to check it out. And just as the women had said, it was empty and they didn't see Jesus. "Come on, men," Jesus says. "Why are you being so foolish? Why are your hearts so sluggish when it comes to believing what the prophets have been saying all along? Didn't it have to be this way? Didn't the Anointed One had to experience these sufferings in order to come into His glory?" Then Jesus begins with Moses and continues prophet by prophet, explaining the meaning of the Hebrew Scriptures, showing how they were talking about the very things that happened to Jesus. Now, about this time, they're nearing their destination. Jesus keeps walking ahead as if he has no plans to stop, but they convince him to join them. "Please," they say, "be our guest. It's getting late, and soon it will be too dark to walk." So he, Jesus, accompanies them to their home. When they sit down at the table for dinner, he takes the bread in his hands. He gives thanks for it, and he breaks it and hands it to them. At that instant, two things happen. Their eyes are suddenly opened, so they recognize him, and then he instantly vanishes, just disappears before their eyes. Amazing! Weren't our hearts on fire within us while he was talking to us on the road? Didn't you feel it all coming clear as he explained the meaning of the Hebrew Scriptures?
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his love and care. And though His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how. Lives today. He walks with me and talks with me.
It is an extraordinary thing, really, that God, who spoke the world into existence by the power of His Word, and revealed Himself to us most clearly through the Logos, the living Word, Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us to rescue us from our sins, has likewise spoken to us through His written Word, the Bible. And powerful it is, as the writer of the Hebrews asserts in familiar words, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And we find that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, because of that, it is of very much significance that at the end of the first resurrection day, it would be that living, powerful Word of God that would bring comfort and insight and help to followers of Jesus trying to unravel the shocking events of the Passion of the Christ. We find two Christ followers on the first Sunday after the crucifixion. All that they thought they knew and believed had been swept away in a whirlwind of events that had left their Messiah dead and their faith shattered. Or so they thought. But the power of the Word of God spoken to them by the Son of God would lift the fog of their confusion and give a new and fresh clarity to their purpose for living. And first, we have the very presence of Christ in Luke chapter 24, 13 to 16. So on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Him. Now, after the resurrection, Jesus had a physical presence, but it was unlike ours, creating a challenging framework for the experiences His followers had with Him in the days of His resurrection. They simply had no reference point for what they would see in Him. The physician Luke, a man whose medical training would give him special interest in such things, notably provides details on the resurrected body of Jesus. We find in these followers on the road of Emmaus the heartaches of the moment. Luke chapter 24, verse 17 to 20. Now, as Jesus joined these men in their walk, He immediately began to probe their wounded hearts. And what I find interesting here is that one of these men is identified as Cleopas, undoubtedly the same Cleopas whose wife Mary was among the women who had brought the word back to the distraught disciples that the grave was empty and Jesus was alive. It wasn't so much that he didn't believe her. He couldn't believe her. It was just impossible. It seemed impossible. These men in their confusion were now encountering the one who had answers for their questions. And what impresses me about what follows is not only Jesus' concern that they be brought to understanding, but also the patience with which He moved them forward in their faith. Slowly, patiently, deliberately, the same way He works with us. Jesus did not choose a thunderbolt, but rather a still small voice with which to instruct His disoriented friends. And here we have the confusion of these disciples. Luke chapter 24, 21 to 24. "But we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel," they say. There is, I think, a distinct rawness to the emotions of these two broken-hearted men. To their eyes, they were talking with a total stranger, yet they unburdened their souls and began to share their disappointment. And that disappointment was rooted and grounded in the confusion that they felt over what had transpired. Do you hear them? "But we had hoped." This is where the shoe pinches. That is where their hopes and expectations evolved into confusion. Things hadn't turned out as they thought. Their hopes were huge, and on that roller coaster experience, the crash of those hopes would be equally huge. What was their expectation? Well, verse 21 says, "But we had hoped that he was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place." When Jesus arrived, those hopes seemed to take on flesh. What was once only anticipation had become solid, objective, present, but now he was gone, and with him, their hope was gone. Confusion is often the result of when we are expecting certain things, when our hopes are high, but those hopes are left unrealized. To the Emmaus Road disciples, disappointment, however, was added new information that they simply did not know how to process. What happened? They recounted the latest rumors, things too unbelievable to be embraced as fact, and tried to match them up with Jesus' words and teaching. Now, some of the women had gone to the tomb and found it empty, including to Mary, the wife of Cleopas. What could that mean? The women claimed to have seen angels bearing a message of resurrection. Is that even possible? Some of the men had gone to the tomb, and it was as the women had described, the body of Jesus was gone. Those men did not see him as the women had claimed to. That last statement explains their despair. I suspect that in our hearts, all of us are sometimes doubting Thomas's. We doubt what we cannot see. We disbelieve what we cannot prove. And I am convinced that lacking concrete information to the contrary, we tend to fill in the blanks with assumptions. And the assumptions tend to be negative. The Emmaus Road disciples felt that they had no concrete information to re-anchor their hopes. So they moved to the default position of doubt. They did not see him. So they found themselves walking away from Jerusalem and struggling with broken hearts and broken dreams, broken hopes, and confusion. But then comes answers and clarity. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Hallelujah. A lamp and a light are much needed comfort when we feel swallowed up by darkness that surround us. The Word of God, however, isn't a mag light or a lighthouse or a searchlight. The lamp spoken of here was a small common olive oil lamp. It consisted of a clay bowl filled with oil and a small floating wick suspended in the liquid. When lit, it created light, but not much. Essentially, this olive oil lamp would produce just enough light for about one step at a time. So a person would proceed one step at a time using the limited light of the lamp to show the way. The light of the scriptures often has the same characteristics as that olive oil lamp. We want the Bible to be like that high beams of our car headlights, clearing the darkness for as far as the eye can see. In our spiritual pilgrimage, however, we walk by faith and not by sight. With dependence upon the Holy Spirit and confidence in the light of the Word, we move forward steady and determined, but not reckless or foolish. It is in the wisdom of the Bible that we can find answers to our questions and clarity for our own confusion. And it does this by giving us light for the very next step of the way. Now, to these confused and struggling disciples, Jesus offers answers. And notice how Luke describes the scene. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoke. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with the words of Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. I found it said that this was unquestionably the greatest small group Bible study session that was ever held. The living Word of God, Jesus Christ, was expounding all the Old Testament scriptures that pertained directly to him. What might have those been? Luke doesn't tell us, but the teaching may have included the promise of a redeemer to crush the serpent's head in Genesis 3:15. The hope that in order to redeem, God would become man in Isaiah chapter 7. The reality that this redemption would require the suffering and death of the God-man in Psalm chapter 22 and Isaiah chapter 53. The fact that the grave would not be able to hold the conquering Savior in Job chapter 19. Now, with the entire Old Testament at his disposal, the master rabbi explained to them all the scriptures that had prophesied his coming, his work, his cross, and his victory. Hallelujah. The remarkable exercise in the Word of God began to patch together understanding for their poor, confused minds. The power of the Word of God was beginning to move these men towards truth in a way they could never have hoped or imagined. And that moved them into communion and wonder. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Having been spiritually fed in such an extraordinary way, these men of Galilee didn't want the lesson to end. They were encouraged. They encouraged the anonymous Jesus to stay with them. And at mealtime, these two overwhelmed disciples sat down for dinner, unaware that the lesson begun in the scriptures on the road would now find their zenith in the table spread before them. The unknown traveler took full charge of the meal, and in a single act, he opened their eyes as well as their understanding. Luke tells us, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And in that moment, their worlds were transformed. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." In fact, what occurred in that flash of divine recognition was not one miracle, but two. The miracle of Christ's resurrected body was once again demonstrated as Jesus simply vanished. But while Christ's disappearance must have been a singularly powerful thing to witness, it wasn't what grabbed their attention the most. No. Their minds were pulled back into the walking Bible seminar they had experienced earlier that day. Their hearts were pulled back into the power of the Word of God. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?" It was power of the Word of God. It was the power of the scriptures that demanded their attention, even in the face of the miraculous. Their description captures their extraordinary experience, their hearts afire as the Son of God explained the Word of God to them. The keys here are burning heart. The idea of the word burning includes being overwhelmed and consumed. They had understanding minds. The word explaining in this context, according to Strong's exhaustive concordance, means to open one's soul, to rouse in one the faculty of understanding or the desire of learning, to rouse, to stir, to provoke their minds, and to what? Understanding and the desire to learn. The fact is that unlike any other moment in their lives, they truly, deeply, personally understood. There is no substitute for understanding. Proverbs says this, "If you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. The Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 2 and 3 and verse 6. For these two disciples, getting discernment, understanding as wisdom was not a theoretical concept. It was the flesh and bone experience of the Emmaus Road. It was the tipping point both in their faith and their worldview from that day forward. Jesus was alive. The scriptures were to be believed. Everything else took a backseat to those facts. Following this marvelous scene, these two men who had earlier that day left Jerusalem in the slow walk of broken-hearted despair returned to the city excited and joy-filled. They had left overwhelmed with questions and had returned satisfied with the answers. They had left with uncertainty and confusion and had returned with clarity. The difference was made when the shepherd of their hearts fed them the word of God in a way that both satisfied their hearts and left them starving for more. It is then in the heart that we experience and come to know the power of the word of God. So having seen the resurrection through the window of the scriptures, we could never again dismiss studying God's ancient book as just an intellectual exercise. Coming to know the power of the Word of God must be seen as a soul-defining experience at the feet of the Master Teacher. It must be seen as the life-enriching privilege of drinking at the fountain of living water. Hallelujah. That word must burn in our own heart. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And I pray that we will listen with hearts ready to hear, and that like those men on the Emmaus road, our hearts will burn within us as the powerful word of the living God transforms our lives into the image of Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that whatever road I take to get away from the pain in my past, that is the road where you meet me. Thank you that even as I am walking away, you are walking after me, wanting to draw near, offering your companionship, hoping to clear up the confusion in my own life. Thank you for your word that sheds so much light on whatever road I take. Without it, how would I have ever found my way or my way back? Help me to be sensitive to the way you speak to me through that word, and to be sensitive to the many other ways you speak, which are often unfamiliar ways, spoken in unfamiliar voices from unfamiliar faces. Thank you for the searching conversations that can only take place on the Emmaus Road. Please break into those conversations, Lord, especially when I'm walking away and wondering why the hopes I believed would come true didn't. Why the suffering I prayed would be relieved wasn't. Why the questions I asked to be answered weren't. Stay with me, Lord, especially in times when I am disheartened. Show yourself to me even if it is only for a moment, for your presence means more to me than my understanding, and seeing you when life doesn't make sense is better than not seeing you when it does. Just as I pray you would be with me in my sufferings, I pray that I would be with you in yours. Help me to be with you in your weakness in the wilderness, with you in your tears on the road to Jerusalem, with you in your agony in Gethsemane, with you in your tortures on the cross. Help me, Lord, to understand something of the depths of your pain, that I may appreciate more fully the depths of your love. Thank you for the good that has come from the suffering I have known so far in this life. It's helped me to learn to feel, and for that I am thankful. The pain I've experienced has made me more sensitive to the pains of others. Thank you for that, Lord. And the sorrow that I've known has made me more sympathetic to the sorrow of others. And thank you for that, too. And thank you that in the hunger I've known in the wilderness and in the thorns and the nails I've known in the world, I have learned to feel something of the pain you felt when you walked this earth, and something of the fellowship of your sufferings and intimacy with you I would have never known apart from tears. Amen.